Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Devastating direct hit. Melissa slamming into Jamaica as a catastrophic Category 5 hurricane, pummeling the island with 185-mile-an-hour winds and torrential rain. The monster storm unleashing raging floodwaters and life-threatening storm surge, tearing roofs from homes, knocking out power for hundreds of thousands. This was a terrifying scene inside a hospital as Melissa ripped through. Officials cautioning people to avoid flooded areas where crocodiles may lurk. Kingston may have been spared the worst of Melissa, but we are still experiencing those strong tropical force storm winds. Tom spoke with the Jamaican Prime Minister.
How is it right now in Jamaica?
Jamaica has sustained a major impact. The corridor of damage is significant. We have lost hospitals. Certainly, our road infrastructure would have been damaged.
Give us an update on the status of search and rescue operations. Have those started or is it still too dangerous?
Still too dangerous to do search and rescue.
Yeah, we watched overnight as the hurricane just this morning actually made landfall in Cuba. That's where we see the hurricane sitting right now as a Category 3, I think, at the last estimate, which is in some ways it's a lot better, obviously, having downgraded in its wind speed, surge capacity, and so forth. But it's still just a monster hurricane. One of the things that we had seen looking at the map yesterday while this was all unfolding is maybe I was wrong to be surprised by it, but John, I was a little surprised to see the outer bands. There was this weird heavy storm system right over Haiti.
I was watching that.
If you don't know the geography, you think of the Keys and then you go south and you see Cuba and then you go south of there and you see Jamaica. Well, to the east of Cuba, which is northeast of Jamaica, is where on the one side of the island you have Haiti and the other side you have the Dominican Republic. And, it's very close to Cuba, but the dirty side of the storm with those big trailing, storms that come with the eye, that outer band was right on top of Haiti. And, Haiti, terrible infrastructure, still recovering from years of devastation, various events, and, one of the poorest countries in the world. And, which is, I always think is so weird because it's next to the DR that does just fine. Politics matters, people. Okay.
Yeah,
governments
does.
Matter. Okay. There's no better example of that than Haiti and DR. Anyway, we saw that. And I thought, oh, God, that's going to be really bad just for them because they have no capacity to respond to anything. And sure enough, the death toll we've got now, it looks like 7, which I am sure that number is going to go up. And I hope it does not. But I fear for, much bigger numbers as we have daybreak today and they start doing search and rescue. But I think the number I saw was either 3 or 4 were from Haiti and a couple from Jamaica. And there was another one somewhere, but 7 so far across the area affected by Hurricane Melissa. 5:13 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. In other news, we had baseball game last night. This one was a regulation length, kind of unusual.
Normal.
Yeah, no 18 innings, no up until 3 a.m. Eastern time, crazy, it's only 1 o'clock actually midnight, I guess. And let me do the math on that. Wait. If it was 3 Eastern, it'd be midnight. In L.A.
Correct.
Right. So not so bad for them. Of course, they must have started early. But still, this one was defined not by the Dodgers, but by the Blue Jays. Shohei Ohtani was pitching. He is still a superstar. And he made one mistake pitch the whole night. There was a man on first and Vladdy Guerrero Jr., who I watched him play in the home run derby here. And you could tell even at that time, like this is a superstar waiting to happen. And he is just a monster, just like his dad, an unbelievable hitter. And so he's up to the plate, one man out, one on first. So the Dodgers were ahead 1-0 at this point.
And the night where they set a World Series record by using 10 different pitchers and had an 11th warning for the 19th in Yamamoto. There's a fly ball to deep left center field, headed back there. It is gone. Brad
Jr. gives the Jays the lead.
Now, they tacked four on after that, but that was the game, a go-ahead run, so the Dodgers lost. I like saying it that way. I like saying it better than the Blue Jays won. The Dodgers lost. I'm a Cardinals fan, so we hate Dodgers, and, you know, just that's just how it is. If you don't understand, well, you know, you're not a baseball fan. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to be. Anyway, so the series is tied at 2-2, and again, I'll just say I'm just thrilled there's a series. I'm excited because I assumed it was going to be a Dodgers walkover, and like sometimes happens with the Dodgers, they assume that too. And they have reason to, given their pitching staff and their hitters and Shohei Ohtani and everything else. But, you know, the Blue Jays know how to hit the ball too, and they know how to pitch the ball too. And it's shaping up to be a really good series, which I always like things to be entertaining and interesting, and this certainly looks like that. 5:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Down, set, hut. We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn-Ins. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with 4 locations in the News Radio area. Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let me ask you a question, Joanna. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
It's good to have so many folks from the National Football League here, or as it will soon be called, La Liga Nacional de Football.
I mentioned to you yesterday that I had more from the Alfred E. Smith dinner, and Mike Pompeo and Tony Blinken, both former secretaries of state, were there. It's a great event every year. It's always entertaining, especially when the comedy is funny. And oh, man, you know, Mike Pompeo was getting after the NFL a little bit. It was funny.
You know, Mary talked about Bad Bunny. He'll be performing the halftime show at the Super Bowl, which, of course, is a sentence I never thought I would say into a microphone while wearing a tux surrounded by clergy. And here's another one I never thought I'd be saying. Eric Adams, Mayor Bloomberg, we are going to miss you.
Yeah, because when you're staring down the prospect of having Zoran Mamdani be your mayor for sure.
Look, there's also some glaring absences here tonight from the festivities. Chief amongst them, the presidents who Tony and I served, neither of them here tonight. We had the pleasure of working for two very different leaders. Now, President Trump's absence, I think it's historic, Tony, because with this many cameras and so much money here, I half expect him to come crashing through the door like the Kool-Aid man dancing to YMCA. Indeed, I've got security looking out to make sure he doesn't walk in while I'm speaking.
Now, again, keep in mind, this is Mike Pompeo, who was the Secretary of State under Trump 45. And then, you know, you've got Tony Blinken, who was the Secretary of State under Joe Biden, right? And so there's a little bit of ribbing back and forth between them.
Look, we are also here at the Waldorf, an iconic American landmark that has hosted presidents, and kings and world leaders and is now known by the owned by the Chinese Communist Party.
That's weirdly true.
But soon it's going to host Zohran Mamdani's low-income Section 8 waiting list. And I think that's okay for the Waldorf, because nothing goes better with chandeliers and marble floors and impeccable artworks better than 400 mattresses and MS-13 gang leaders making shivs out of toothbrushes. Look, you don't have to guess. The hottest, the absolute hottest amenity at the Waldorf will be charging stations for ankle monitors.
Oh my God, it's so brutal. And this is, but this is my favorite. Okay, if you were wondering when was Mike gonna really lay into Tony Blinken, here goes.
As I said, Tony is so much nicer than I am. If foreign policy was the Titanic, I'd be the guy steering clear of the iceberg, and Blinken's the guy giving violin lessons on the Lido deck.
That's not even the worst of it.
And look, in just under half a decade, Afghanistan collapsed, Ukraine erupted, Israel caught fire, China was running the table. Look, other than that, killer, good for you. Yeah, we had our failings too. When I was Secretary of State, we didn't have any new wars, but Tony, it felt to me like you were like the Oprah Winfrey of Secretary of State. A war for you, and a war for you. Everybody gets a war.
Wow. So I'll play the Tony Blinken clips later. They're funny. 5:21 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. This train's running a little bit ahead of schedule today.
Are you complaining about my efficiency?
No, not at all, sir. I'm just trying to bring up my page here. Hurricane Melissa making landfall overnight is a Category 3 storm with winds in Cuba overnight. I'm sorry, as a Category 3 storm. 120 miles an hour winds there. 700,000 people evacuated, including, of course, 800 and some folks here at NAS Pensacola from Guantanamo Bay. The federal government shutdown is in day 29 with no end in sight after the Senate's 13th attempt now to resolve it, failing yesterday.
Well, you know what I always say, never let the 13th vote on ending a government shutdown fail.
Absolutely not. That's a saying as old as the end of time, I think, Andrew.
I stole that from, one of the Cardinals radio broadcasters is, he always has, like, whatever game they're playing of the year, it's the 100th game of the year, it's the 94th game of the year, it's the 131st game of the year. Ricky Horton is his name, and he always says, well, you know what I always say, you never want to lose the 141st game of the year. just something stupid but funny at the same time. So go on.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing acetaminophen makers, including Kenvue and Johnson & Johnson, for allegedly misleading pregnant women about Tylenol's safety. Paxton claims that the companies ignored evidence linking the drug to autism and ADHD.
We're just going all the way down this nonsense Alice in Wonderland tube. Is that the deal here that, Bobby Kennedy Jr. says, Tylenol. It's dangerous for women because, God forbid that you'd want to control somebody's fever when they're pregnant. But no, don't take Tylenol when you're pregnant because it makes the kids autistic. Not evidence. So now Texas is like, oh, well, you didn't even warn us that this is true. Let's sue you over it.
Well, when you're jumping in a hole, you just got to jump.
Lord. I guess, Geronimo, here we go. All right. Was that it, sir? Was that your third one?
That was, sir.
All right. 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3. Man, what else do we have going on? The mayor yesterday did his normal press conference, and if you want to call it the big news was a lawsuit.
We have filed a suit
against Joe Patties. And you say, whoa, what? Well,
we are at a standstill right now with a $16 million project, and again, this isn't a surprise. This is a conversation that has been happening over many months and years. To get us to a solution.
And the issue is that they've got this big stormwater project that they had Main Street closed down for a while because of. That project, by the way, is not done. I know some people, we'll talk with the mayor about this later. I don't think I'm wrong about this, but I know when they opened the road back up, And then there was some rain, and then because we had that, you know, 4 or 5 inches of rain, and then there was flooding, and people were like, "Ah, oh, the project didn't do anything. They're still flooding." Sir, the project's not done. There's no end piece yet connecting it to anything. It's not finished. So wait for the finish. The idea is, you know how Joe Patty's is laid out. Right across the very front of the shop is what used to be a street. Okay. And they, it's an unopened right of way is what they call it. And we don't need that street for anything. There's never going to be a street. I mean, literally right across the front of Joe Patty's. If you go out and look left, there's a street there that ends at their parking lot. It's an unopened right of way. And, you know, that's never going to happen. In fact, I think that's been given away. I think the unopened right of way is actually not even possible anymore. But there's an easement that means an access to the land that the city preserved in granting the, you know, vacation of the right-of-way. And the easement allows the city to access, there's, you know, drainage, stormwater runoff underneath. Well, in order to upgrade that and connect it to the project and make it work the way it's supposed to work, they're going to have to tear up some of the parking lot. Or find a different solution for making the water go from where it collects to the bay. That's what they have to do. Well, apparently the various family members and the trust and, you know, that's a large group of people who don't always necessarily see eye to eye on everything. And that's the problem is they don't, you know, the city has been working with them for 3 years to try to figure out, well, we know you don't want to have to close your business or have your business impacted by having the road torn up, not even the road, the unopened right of way, not even that, it's a, you know, the easement. But tearing up your pavement, that's not ideal for anybody. So is there some other way we can do this? Let's find another way to do this. I mean, we have the right legally to do this, but we're trying to work with you to find something else. Well, apparently they've never gotten any kind of a solution that works. And so the city's like, I mean, we don't want to do this either because we love your business and we believe in your business, but we have to solve this $16 million drain project that's going to affect 5,000 homes. And we do have the law on our side on this, and so we're just asking a judge to force you to comply with us doing the thing that we are entitled to do, even though we're open to doing something else.
Our pipe's going in the ground 3 years in. At some point, we've got to make a decision. So that's why I want to be crystal clear. This is not because we're looking for an argument or anything like that. We've just reached that critical point where we can't really keep just talking about things and going around in circles about, you know, potential solutions.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like an overhead map, you know, Gimble Street, which runs, that's the unopened right of way, runs directly across the front. Like, you know where the cars park over in front of the tugboat or the fishing boat that's always parked there? That is actually unopened right of way for this street, this Gimble Street. But underneath that is the access point where they have easement access, where they're supposed to be able to use it. And the city's like, look, we have to finish this project. We can do that, but we'd prefer to find something where everybody's happy. But apparently getting the whole family or all the various parties on board with some kind of a solution has not, in 3 years of discussion, produced anything. So he's like, well, here we go.
Well, so technically we have an easement. So technically if we weren't trying to be collaborative, we could have just said the easement's right here 3 years ago. The only reason there's been conversation for 3 years was looking for an even happier medium than going across the parking lot. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Jim Little of P&J asks him, you know, well, it looks like you're suing one of the most popular businesses in the city and trying to force them to endure a shutdown, you know, and after all the stuff with Reimagine Palafox and everything else, this doesn't look good for you. And the mayor's like, yeah, I know, but like many things, there's the optics and then there's the facts. And these are the facts, and so
I love that place the same way we all do. This student has no, this is just about a easement alone. It's, and that has nothing to do with the business itself. It has nothing to do with the collaborative conversations that I have and continue to have with the family. We fully support their business, and the reason we've spent 3 years is because of how much respect we have for their business and it being able to operate and us trying to find the least painful solution to that.
Right. You know, he's kind of at the end of the possibility zone here. And I've seen some really silly comments online, you know, oh, this mayor is terrible and he fails at everything. You know, do better, Mr. Mayor. Literally, he's been working on this for 3 years, trying to find another way to not have to do this, you know, but you got to solve stormwater problems, too. And that's a big government issue. And if they had, you know, like if this, instead of being Joe Paddy's, if this were some, I don't know, condo with a parking lot or a strip of houses with a parking lot or something like that, I mean, they would have just done it. You know, it's a fact of trying to accommodate Joe Paddy's and trying to find a different way that has, I think, given them all of this time, which is, you know, it's another one of these things where I think, man, you know, there are reasons you can criticize DC Reeves, but a lot of the reasons that he gets criticized are just silly things. Really, misunderstandings or, you know, completely just dumb objections. And this is one of those. This is a non-issue to me. This is an obvious decision if you're in his position, knowing that it's going to, somebody's going, a lot of people are going to, why are you suing Joe Paddy's? Oh my God. Learn some facts, please.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump in South Korea. Fox's Doug Luzader.
He heaped praise on that country, and he described it as a cherished American friend and close ally, but also spoke of the ongoing tension with North Korea.
I would call it a lingering cloud that's over your head. We're going to see if we can get that straightened out.
Right now, he's at a small dinner with other leaders, including the host, South Korean President Lee Jae-myung.
We made our deal. We pretty much finalized a trade deal. And we discussed some other things having to do with national security.
The South Korean leader honoring President Trump, giving him a gold crown and medal, the highest civilian honor. The president will meet tomorrow with China's leader, Xi Jinping. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 62 degrees, cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Well, the city is heading to court to revive a stalled $16 million stormwater project affecting the area near Joe Paddy's. The lawsuit claims the seafood business blocked city workers from accessing an underground easement necessary for storm sewer upgrades.
We're at the point in the project a few years into this conversation where we have to make a decision or we're going to be putting our taxpayers in a pretty difficult spot.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there back in 1975, the city vacated land but did reserve rights for storm sewer maintenance. The mayor says after 3 years of discussions with the family, the city now has to take legal action to avoid putting taxpayers in a difficult spot. A Milton man convicted of the rape and killing of his neighbor in 1998 was executed last night, 65-year-old Norman Grimm Jr. He was killed by lethal injection on Tuesday evening. He declined to make a final statement before the execution. Grimm was convicted of sexual battery and first-degree murder. Grimm was linked to the murder of Cynthia Campbell by evidence, including DNA. Her body was found by a fisherman in Escambia Bay. She'd been beaten with a hammer and stabbed multiple times. Grimm waived his right to an appeal before the execution. Florida has now executed more inmates than any other state this year, with more executions still scheduled in coming months. Well, those VO scooters that have been seen throughout downtown Pensacola for years now are going away by the end of the week.
The current form isn't working for us. That does not mean that, you know, that's not a personal thing to VO. It's not. It's about, if we were to look into bringing back some type of multimodal amenity, I'm certainly for that, whether that was with VO or with someone else. But I just think it's probably time to, it's time to retire this version, and then we can see if there's something better in the works.
And Mayor Reeves there from yesterday's press conference, he says the contract with VO is up at the end of the month. The city declined to renew it. They're planning at looking at other forms of multimodal transportation. Two tornadoes responsible for damage in Bay County. The National Weather Service releasing details yesterday on two tornadoes that touched down early this week in Mexico Beach. The first one was an EF1 that was on the ground for 15 minutes, traveled a bit over a mile. 10 injuries were reported. Some buildings were damaged. The second tornado, an EF0 that was on the ground for about a minute and traveled just over a half mile. Nobody was hurt in that one, no buildings were damaged. Senator Rick Scott calling on lawmakers to lock the clock. He took to the Senate floor yesterday discussing his bill that would make daylight savings time permanent. It would end the practice of changing the clocks twice a year. Scott has been pushing for that since he was governor. He calls it a common sense change that he says would simplify and better our lives. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 62 degrees. It is cloudy right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk has launched Rockopedia, a crowdsourced online encyclopedia that the billionaire seeks to position as a rival to Wikipedia. Musk had previously criticized Wikipedia for being filled with propaganda and called for people to stop donating to the site, which is run by a nonprofit. Westinghouse Electric Company has announced an $80 billion deal with the U.S. government to build nuclear reactors. Under the deal, the Department of Commerce will arrange financing and facilitate permitting for the new reactors. The agreement also involves uranium producer Cameco Corporation and investment firm Brookfield Asset Management. Microsoft and OpenAI said they have reached a deal to allow the ChatGPT maker to restructure itself into a public benefit corporation, valuing OpenAI at $500 billion and clearing the way for it to become a publicly traded company. Microsoft said it would hold a stake of about 27%, which would be controlled by the OpenAI Foundation, a nonprofit. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before, or that local theater is predictable? Well, foo around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, foo around and find out. At Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
Florida State and Wake Forest will square off in an ACC college football showdown Saturday night in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network.
Injuries and penalties have been the biggest issues for the Seminole offense lately, as FSU is coming off a bye week, which means many of the players may have had a chance to recover, as FSU is welcoming Wake Forest into town on Saturday. Pre-game is at 4:30 on News Radio 92.3, home of FSU football.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. In studio, I have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
Great. We had a couple of, let's say, firearm discharge cases. Maybe one of them we shouldn't call a shooting exactly. So let's start with that one, actually. This is the one that I think a lot of people have seen. You had a 16-year-old was charged after he discharged a firearm that hurt another 16-year-old, but it was accidental. It was at a party. It was stolen. Tell me what I need to know here. There's a lot of facts here.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of facts and a lot of information that we're getting from witnesses. And like you said, there's two 16-year-olds. One 16-year-old allegedly has taken a weapon, a firearm, from his sister's car. The firearm belonged to his sister's boyfriend. He did not have permission to get this firearm, to take this firearm, but he did. So he, at this point, he's stolen a firearm, and he's only 16, so he can't be in possession of a firearm, and certainly can't steal one. So he's in possession of his firearm, and he and another 16-year-old are toying around, playing around with this gun, and at one point they remove the magazine or the clip, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And they believe that the gun is unloaded at this point, but they do not realize, as many of us do know, that there is still one in the chamber.
And or at least can still have that one.
Yeah, it depends on if you've
carried the chamber or not.
Right. So that is the situation that started this thing, where He pointed at his friend, and by some witness accounts, the friends was okay with it, and even they all encouraged this. These two encouraged it. The trigger was pulled. So, it's an accidental shooting, but it's not an accident. He actually did pull the trigger. Accidentally pull the trigger. So I'll term it more as a negligent discharge because there was certainly negligence involved. We ended up charging the 116-year-old with the theft of the firearm, being in possession of the firearm. And the investigation continues. There is certainly a very real possibility that we could add additional charges. We are waiting to see, obviously, how the victim ends up. And then we have a conversation with the victim as well before we
do. We know how badly he was injured?
It was life flighted to the
serious
medical facility. So I mean, obviously, with a gunshot wound to the chest, he has some serious injury. So we're obviously thinking about the victim and praying for the victim, and hopefully he has a speedy recovery. And what I wanted to just make mention is that while he didn't think the gun was loaded, there's still some responsibility there. You still cannot and should not ever point a firearm at another individual, whether you think it's loaded or not.
Rule number 1 through 10 of gun safety is every gun you treat like it's loaded. I mean, that's rule number 2, see rule number 1. Every gun, no matter what, you've opened it up, you've taken the magazine out, you've ejected the cartridge, you've looked. I still don't point that gun at people.
Right.
Never, ever, because you don't flag me, bro. Like, it's just...
It is a habit. Becomes a habit.
Yes.
And that's how you treat a firearm, and I agree with you. Whether it's a rifle, shotgun, you make sure that it's pointed somewhere
else. Pointed downrange, right?
When I have a firearm in a holster, I still don't point it. I even point it toward a wall.
Right.
I don't point it towards the ground because out of habit.
Yep. It's a vivid habit that once you make that habit, it's a lot easier not to make dumb mistakes.
And it's the just assume they're all loaded.
Yep.
Assume they're all loaded and assume that there may be an accidental... a dog or a cat or the gun falls or something, a piece of clothing activates the trigger. Right? So that's where we're trying to get this message out.
Yeah.
We took this opportunity to also, to get this out because we do have accidental discharges. We probably have at least once a week.
Yeah.
Luckily this in a hand or a foot or something like that. This situation is a little different now.
Very unusual.
Let's not say that this is something where you're putting it in your pocket and it goes off. This is something where you intentionally pointed a weapon at somebody and pulled a trigger, thinking it's empty or not, is still at the least negligent.
That's a terrible story. But yeah, I mean, teach your kids gun safety. I mean, at the very least, teach them not to touch and treat every gun like it's loaded. At the very least, even if you don't like guns, don't believe in guns, don't own a gun, teach them that. Because this is a warning to anybody that, guns can be dangerous even if you think they're not.
And as simple as we think that the gun mechanisms are,
yeah,
whether they're revolvers or semi-automatics, but they're still a little bit complicated. You can't just take the magazine out and think that everything's okay. And like you said, that's where you'll see at our gun range during our training that a lot of times they're pulling that slide back. They're double-checking.
Right.
They're triple-checing. They're doing a lot of things. Because we're obviously familiar with the weapons, and there are accidental discharges in law enforcement all the time. I read about them throughout the country, but again, it's one of those things where you make it a habit, and then you live.
Can I make a really area. Just this? It just catches my attention. It's one of the things that bothers me when I watch movies that involve guns, is how the bad guy, the good guy, doesn't matter. 94% of the time, right before they go to use a gun, they'll chamber it.
Right.
I mean, it's been sitting in my holster chambered for 3 months, but I'm going to still chamber it again before I get, I'm pointing it at somebody and then I'm going to chamber it again. I'm going to rack the slide again, and there's just one part of me wonders if maybe some part of these kids thought, well, you can't shoot it until you do that because that's how they always do it in the movies.
Well, there have been agencies that I was aware of in the past that would not allow you to put one in a chamber. You have to
really
rack around.
Well, all right. Well, that's inconvenient if you're ever in a pressing situation.
I don't understand it.
that's not how I carry concealed. I mean, okay. Second incident we had was on Brigadier Street. We had an argument that led to somebody being shot, right?
Yeah, that's what we got. We responded to 300 block of Brigadier, 200 block of Brigadier Street, where the victim and another guy was involved in an argument with some other people. We're actually looking at this one as a potential stand your ground. So we're still investigating that. We do not have one individual suspect in it, but we're looking at the circumstances because apparently there was a group of people to include the suspect that were involved in a fight. And then during that fight, a round was the suspect shot the victim and fled the scene.
And how the fight develops and who does or says what can be material to whether the shooting was a crime
how
or justified.
How fearful were you and what were circumstances, especially whenever you're involved in an argument or a disagreement or a fight with a number of different people.
And then we also had one on Arlington Drive, another one that was, I think, kind of a disagreement fight that led to shots fired. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That was a disagreement that led to, you know, two people got into a fight and then led to the shooting. And we do have a suspect in that case. Obviously, we know the two people that were involved. We are working on getting a warrant for that individual as we speak.
Okay.
Or we were last night, I heard. So we probably have that warrant. We'll probably put that information out today.
Fair. Fair seemed like it went, I mean, except for the fact that the last day got canceled for weather, but the fair seemed to go as smoothly as I can ever remember. How many arrests did you make?
We made zero arrests.
Is that unusual?
That's very unusual. We don't have a lot.
What's a normal number?
I'd say about three to five arrests.
Okay,
typically. Some days we'd have a little bit more, or some years we'd have a little bit more. And I talked to the people that worked the fair, and this is the first time they can remember where we haven't had to make any arrests. Now,
I assume the arrests are usually fighting.
Yeah, disorderly
conduct. You know, okay, people get drunk
at the fair.
A lot of
times alcohol involved, and or something in a parking lot arguments, and
you
and
looked at my woman. No, I didn't. Person. Okay.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say that we didn't have, you know, some arguments and disagreements. We did kick a couple people out of the fair.
Okay.
But that also means that hey, our officers are out there doing their job. I like to think that it is a deterrence, you know, to when you're standing in line at the ticket booth there, and you're going through a metal detector and you see deputies there, and you got cameras there, and you see our command post there, and you know the
you hear that whirring sound overhead, and it's not the tilt a wheel, it's the drone. Yeah,
it said, hey, you know, just behave.
All right.
This is a family environment. But anyways, zero arrest in 9 days. I was gonna say 10 days, but that last day, as you mentioned, was we didn't make any arrests that day.
Well, there you go.
So there's, you know, 10 days.
0 for 10.
Yeah. Well, and it wouldn't be the first time that people that actually took down the equipment got into a scuffle, right? You know, so zero
arrest. There's some possibility.
10 days. Yeah.
Tensions are high, tempers are frayed when, you know, the last day taking everything down during the rain.
I know they looked a little tired at day 10.
Serious thing. This is obviously Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I know Santa Rosa, their deputies are wearing pink ribbons and purple ribbons. But we've had a couple of cases here. One involved a cutting. Another one involved more of a threat situation. But maybe to the, and I know we don't, you don't like to talk about domestic violence situations because you wind up having to name people's names or even imply people's names. And that's not ideal. But by not talking about it, doesn't make the problem go away.
Yeah. Well, we do like awareness.
Yeah.
You know, so it's to say that we don't like talking about it. We like to make people aware and to let people know that there is an option. You know, you can get out, you can go to Favor House, you can contact these people. In fact, we have errors and literature that we give people every time we go to a domestic violence call.
Okay.
And so awareness is certainly something that we want to let people know. By statute, though, we cannot give the victim's name of a domestic violence or sexual offenses or child abuse type of cases. So we're in a little bit of a bind. Now, the media does not have that concern. They may have that concern. They don't have that
restriction.
So it is one of those strange things where we want to talk about it, but we don't want to talk specifically about this person. Because, again, if you identify the suspect, let's just say a male, and then the domestic violence, then also
you can
identify
infer the victim,
as a female.
Right.
Or if you give the address, then obviously you know where that takes place at. So a lot of times you'll hear us say there was a male that was arrested for domestic violence on a partner. Well, sometimes we don't even say it was a spouse.
Right.
It's because it doesn't have to be a spouse. So, but we do want people to understand that these cases can be very serious. As you mentioned, there was a stabbing involving a domestic situation. We talk a lot about dating violence. It doesn't have to be a married individual. It doesn't have to be a grown-up.
When you say dating, you usually mean long-term relationships, though, right? Not typically like second date kind of stuff.
Not typically second date kind of stuff, but relationship that we can there is a. I guess it's just the two partners that are together and have been for some time.
What is the normal pattern before you actually get a battery or before you get a stabbing or before you get, God forbid, a shooting or whatever? My belief is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that's why I'm asking you, the expert, is that it's rarely the first squabble. It's the 100th squabble. It's people who have a history of bickering, of fighting, of escalating, of, you know, not walking away, of seeking to wound each other with words. And these things just kind of grow as a pattern after that, that, you know, it's never a surprise. And it's rarely a surprise. It's not like everything's fine and then somebody just snaps and hits. You tell me, though, what's the norm?
I guess early on, if we're talking about dating violence, this certainly could be a surprise. You didn't know this person. Sometimes there's alcohol involved, and some people deal with that differently. But if you're asking me if my opinion is that the violent part is the first thing you see, probably that's true. It's probably not. But we don't get called on arguments. We don't get called on fights or shouting or yelling or that sort of thing. But I think that there are certainly some warning signs that you can look at. If someone appears to be overly agitated for a minor thing, clenches their fist or you know, raises their hand as if they're going to hit you, those are warning signs. And I don't mean to say that it's easy to get out of those relationships, because I understand there's a lot of nuances to that. But I think that as we talk about it and make sure people understand that they do not have to be, they don't have to tolerate that.
Right.
You know, seek some help, get some help, distance yourself at the first sign of this. I'm not saying you can't have a disagreement. Everyone has disagreements.
Everybody gets angry.
Yeah.
I'd be actually worried about a person who doesn't show any anger ever. Like that kind of concerns me, because nobody. There's
movies about those guys.
Right. Everybody gets angry. Everybody gets agitated. That's the nature of relationships. But learning how to manage that and handle it healthily and then come back from it, as opposed to escalate, right? That's
well, and it's not even in a domestic violence realm. It's everywhere. It's your friend groups that you have. Yeah. A lot of people have those. That one friend is like, yo, he's a little hothead,
right?
You know, he's a hothead, and you treat them accordingly. Distance yourself. That's what I would do. Let's just not go with that person. Let's not invite that person to our party. You know, type of thing. So it's just one of those things. It's a bit of common sense, but it's also some encouragement that you can do this. You can get out of this relationship. You can identify what you want out of a relationship, and you can let them know that this is not acceptable.
Right.
And then move forward from there.
Also, now I know why you didn't invite me to your party. Just Sheriff.
That guy. Yeah, that's why.
Don't invite that Andrew McKay. No. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Is it just me, or is he implying there were other reasons?
I think there were other reasons, Andrew. Just to be honest.
I love the sheriff so much. He's great. He puts up with me a lot. hey, if you have a student who is struggling with math, or maybe not struggling necessarily, but, you know, wants to do better, or you'd like them to do better, maybe it's just that kind of they used to be great and now they're just okay. Look, things change. I mean, you know, sometimes the skills that you're learning change, right, from regular mathematics to algebra, then to geometry, and then to trig and stuff. You know, you can kind of lose your place in the process somewhere in there. Sometimes you get a teacher that is just not, you know, doesn't quite grasp what a student is missing in their, you know, toolbox, basically. So here's what you do. You go to Mathnasium. Dear friends of mine, some of our best friends run Mathnasium. Great company. I'm a big believer. Our son, Spencer, worked there for a year and taught math, was a math tutor. Great personalized instruction and an outstanding track record. I mean, you know, more than 94% of parents report an improvement when they go to Mathnasium. 93% have the better attitude with the kids, and 90% see an improvement in their actual grade. What they do is they give you an assessment. They give the kid an assessment, which is completely, you know, free. There's no cost to that. So, you know, going and finding out what's going on is completely free. And then that'll identify, you know, which skills, which capabilities, which comprehensions are missing. And then they work on those, and they are specifically designed to be able to, you know, help fix those issues and then get your kid back to, you know, full functioning at grade level or above. I mean, some people actually go in because they want to be better at math than grade level. That's perfectly fine, too. In any case, next step is if this is, you know, appropriate for your child, then go see them. Just stop in for a free assessment anytime. Mathnasium, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSIA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The third annual Fall Worship Festival returns to downtown Pensacola Saturday at Museum Park Plaza. Everyone is invited to enjoy the music, food, fellowship, and fun. Get more at experienceworship.org. St. Anthony of Padua Fall Festival is Sunday from 11 to 3. Check out St. Anthony Church on Facebook for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
D plus? Oh my God. I passed!
Could listen to Jane's Addiction all day long. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. You're nodding your head. You big Jane's Addiction fan over there, John? Well, I wouldn't have expected that from a country boy like you, but...
Well, I know all types of music.
Okay.
To be
all
honest
right.
with you.
Fair enough. I appreciate that. You know, the one thing about that album, actually both of their big albums, is I always feel like it's not necessarily the biggest popular songs were the best songs on the album. Oh, I mean, I feel that all the time, you know, when I go to listen to albums. It's like, man, that's a great song. Yeah, it's what they're famous for. It's not my favorite. that's not even a guy. I don't even like that song. Even albums that I own. An album is a collection of songs that used to come. Anyway.
Explain it. Yes, you must.
Oh, you know what? This is a story I have not done, and this has been on my show prep for forever. But since we're here, so you know how we used to have vinyl albums, mm-hmm. EPs. And then we all
the little spinny went to, things
yeah,
that you put a needle
and,
on.
Yeah, and then we all went to discs. And then now
Wait,
we don't even
cassettes.
Do discs anymore. We just went to...
You forgot cassettes. Well,
cassettes
was
before that. Okay. I don't care about all that. That's not okay. relevant here. and then, you know, we went to digital. And so we stopped having albums or discs. And now, of course, in the last couple of years, not even a couple, but, you know, for, I don't know, what, a decade or so, it's kind of been vogue to go retro and get your vinyl back. And if you go to, like, Books A Million, they have a whole section of vinyl. And it's so weird to me looking at Nirvana Nevermind for, you know, $30. It's just ridiculous. So, but here's the story. Here's the relevant piece. People are angry because they buy these albums on vinyl, and then there are songs missing because they don't understand why they don't get all the songs on the vinyl. To which any of us who are old enough will say, well, because there's only so much music you can put on vinyl. It's a limited memory device, you might say.
Limited memory.
It doesn't have the same amount of memory as, you know, say, your phone. And so you can only cram so many megabits of information in there.
That's a good way to, like, put it
in. But, yeah, they,
terms.
You know, the vinyl doesn't yield you all the songs because there's not enough room on the vinyl for you to have all of the information for all of the songs that are available digitally. That's why it's happening. But people are upset because I wanted all the songs. I'm like, well.
Won't they do a B-side?
It's digital. Don't confuse the people.
Okay.
Don't confuse them.
All right.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump continues his six-day Asia trip today. He's in South Korea meeting with President Lee Jae-myung. He'll be receiving a golden crown from an ancient royal tomb. He's also set to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping tomorrow in Busan, South Korea, to discuss China-U.S. relations. The White House has reportedly fired all the federal arts commissioners expected to advise on the new ballroom project. A White House official said Tuesday that all six members of the Commission of Fine Arts have been fired. They're preparing to appoint a new slate of members that are more aligned with President Trump's America First policies. The six commissioners had been appointed by President Biden.
Well, you know, the old first rule of effective leadership is if people won't do what you tell them to do, then fire them all and get new people who will just do whatever you say. Right? Isn't that how we do
things? Listen on air at 92.3.